Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Boy, I've got a lot to cover. I'm going to focus on the idea of a living act of discernment. How do you discern what God's will is? What are the signs that you have that you're like, you know what? This is from God, and I can trust this. And how do I step forward? How do I make a decision about what it is God would have me do? I'm going to share with you some living thoughts and reflections that I have about this decision I'm making. What is it? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Welcome back to the program. I'm going to begin by praying the Golden Arrow Prayer. The Golden Arrow Prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most incomprehensible and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven and on earth and in hell by all the creatures of God and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That Golden Arrow Prayer is a prayer given to the Sister Marie of St. Peter, the nun who received these revelations from the Lord about Veronica's veil and about the devotion to the Holy Face, the imprinted face of Jesus in his passion. You heard me interview the priest who is feeling this modern call, this contemporary call to reinvigorate this devotion and to spread it abroad here in this country and even potentially around the world. And so that was a wonderful opportunity that I had to do that. I'm bringing that up, and I said this prayer in part because of this idea of discerning. And so I'm going to kind of just lay out there some of the elements of what I'm talking about when I say, how do we discern what God wants us to do? And I don't just mean that in general, like day to day, how do you sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit moving within you, something that is a nudge to take an action on or to avoid something, right? Or paying attention to the signs around you and saying, okay, I'm recognizing the signs of the times. I'm reading them and interpreting them in the light of the gospel in terms of how I'm supposed to act and what the church is supposed to do. What I'm talking about is something very specific. I mentioned last week on the program that something has emerged in my own prayer as a potential action in my own life that is not typical, not ordinary at all. In my life, I haven't ever really had, let's call it a sabbatical. After a certain number of years, a professor or someone that has been, in a career a long time, they're able to take a sabbatical at times. And that means they can step away from their work for an extended period to be able to rest and rejuvenate and all of that. Well, being a husband and a father, being involved in ministry work and in other service work like doing real estate, it's not really a 9-to-5 job. I don't think I've really had a 9-to-5 job, well, let's say ever. In my entire adult life, I've never had a 9-to-5 life. It's not a complaint. It's more speaks to, so it's my own sense of call to be involved in church work, in the work of serving others in a way that involves Jesus Christ and ministering, in a way that involves helping people to come to be clear about things that are happening in their lives. These types of conversations happen, I don't know, routinely for me. They can just happen when I'm on the phone driving between meetings. That happened to me yesterday. I was on the phone and I was going to go show some folks a house near to somebody else. And I gave them a call because they're wrestling with some things right now as a married couple. And I'm like, well, let me just follow up with them real quick. And ended up having about a 20-minute conversation with them. And it was basically using the time between the two showings where I was showing this buyer this house here in Spokane Valley. And then this other house was about 25 minutes away. And I'm like, oh, let me use the time well. And so I used it as a coaching session in the car. It was not about charging them money. It wasn't that at all. I didn't do that. It was more, I've got a gift. Let me put it at the service of someone. Okay. I'm just sharing that with you. That's sort of the way that I've kind of built my life. It's the way that the Lord built me, right? I don't take credit for that. In fact, if anything, I should say, I have to be aware of not only the gifts that are involved in that, but the shadow side. The place where that gifting will turn into something that's no longer a gift. It'll turn into something that is a brokenness, something that does not lead to life. Just because we're good at something, just because the Lord has gifted us in a way that we can put that gift at the service of someone, that may not necessarily always be what the Lord intends for us. That it can become easily something where we would be pouring ourselves out, spending our life energy, right? When I say life energy, you know what I mean by that. You can just feel ragged and exhausted when you're giving yourself, not just using, you know, your capabilities, but putting yourself into it as well. There's only so much energy that you have. And if we are too quick to engage in that sort of activity, one of the things that can diminish is, in fact, our discernment, our capacity to really discern and say, you know what, I think that I am, here's the temptation. I think I'm self-important. Somehow I think, gosh, if I don't do this, no one's going to do it. Or can this other person do it as well as I can do it? Or if I don't do it, no one else is going to. And so I become indispensable, right? Those are ways of thinking that can hold us back from bearing fruit. Well, wait a minute. Did you hear that? Hold us back from bearing fruit? Isn't it by doing good things that we're going to bear fruit? Well, not if all of our energy has been spent in so many situations that they're dissipated. They are dispersed is the word in our spiritual tradition. And so what we're called to is to be more concentrated, to have a greater sense of ingathering. When we can be more concentrated, there can be a sense of wholeness and integrity that we're then, from that position of wholeness and integrity, we can be more sensitized to the way that the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, give of yourself here, but hold back there. Don't just step in and serve here. You're actually going to step on a landmine if you do that, and that's not going to be helpful to your spiritual life or your own use of time and energy in life. Okay, so that's just sort of background. In the last couple of weeks, Carrie and I, we had a chance to go away at the end of May, and the lingering effects of that through the month of June, I've continued to discern and say, Lord, I want to live my life in a way that's different than I'm living it right now. And by that, I mean that there are certain things that I've talked about doing that if I keep living the way I'm living, I'm not going to have them be addressed. It's not going to get the job done. So just some concrete for instances, I've said and I say it on the radio, it's kind of embarrassing that I'll say it on the radio. I feel this call to pray the rosary live on Facebook. The Lord's given me this beautiful page that have been cultivated and grown over the course of many years, and it has all of these followers, and there was this whole custom of me praying live on Facebook, praying the rosary live and praying with people literally from around the world, and hundreds of people would join me every day to pray the rosary for an extended period, and people were very moved and touched by it. The Lord used it very powerfully, and it was a great blessing to me as well. And so here's an instance of an activity that I see in my life that the Lord has used to bear fruit. He's using the gifts that he's given to me. He's using a platform that has required time and effort and energy, planning and strategizing and working and investing. And there it is. So the asset is there. The platform is there. The opportunity to pray and touch the lives of many, doing a spiritual act like praying the rosary in a way that will help others to be stirred to pray and to experience God. Well, wait a minute. That's really close to the center of the bullseye of what I want to be doing with my life. I think about, well, if I said, let me evaluate the activities that are part of my life that are the most closely associated with the fulfillment of the things that I have been made to do, I'd be hard-pressed to come up with many on that list that are a greater example of me using the gifts and graces God has given me to accomplish a godly work than praying the rosary live on Facebook. Okay, now if it's that simple to identify, then the next question becomes, well, Tom, and therefore it must be simple for you to incorporate that activity into your daily life. Because if you see this close association between the fruitfulness of that work, the resonance, the way that connects to deeply, resonates with the giftings God's given to you, and you see the fruit that comes when you do it, well, then it should be a priority. It should just be something that you do every day and plan accordingly. Okay, well, take a look at your schedule. What time will you do it tomorrow? And all I can say is, knowing what I ought to do, having a sense of the signs of what I ought to do, recognizing that the prompting, the nudge inside of me that says I should do that, has not been sufficient to bring about the actual daily activity of doing that. Make sense? So you see, here it's the common experience of this discrepancy, this distance that can exist between what we sense we ought to be doing and what we actually do. And so the question becomes, Lord, is this in fact what you're calling me to do? Because if you are, then I've got to figure out, how do I go about doing it? How do I go about accomplishing that task that I feel this inner sense of impulse to go ahead and do it? And all I can say is that the approach that I've taken upon myself is a very American approach. Tom, try harder. Plan better. Stop making excuses. Just do it. And all I can say is, despite my best efforts to accomplish all of those things, that sense of this distance is not just overcome because I can recognize that the distance is there and I can just somehow try harder and say, okay, tomorrow I'm not going to settle for this, right? All I can say is it's not worked. It hasn't worked. So I'm living with this discrepancy in my life and I'm saying, Lord, need a little help here. Okay. The second one is a task that is connected to a further sense of a mission, a further sense of I desire to use my life to bear fruit in the way that God intended. And that would be around writing books. And it's not about the act of writing a book. It's about sharing with the wider church insights, content that I have around certain themes that I know that when I've shared them in the past, they come across to folks who hear them as fresh or specifically helpful and insightful or encouraging or informative in a way that other writers haven't been able to pull together in a way that they've found impactful or with the same degree of whether it's properly ordered or expansive or extensive, right? So I have, I'm literally looking at my notebook in front of me, my journal, where I have content for a few books. There's a book on these three moments of discipleship. The moment of call, and that's all a gift. The moment of powerlessness, and that's the reality of I'm desperate. And then the moment of empowerment, and that is I am empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so reflecting on those three moments and how it relates to our lives as disciples in a way that will help Catholics come alive in faith, I know that that content and the way that the Lord has handed it on to me, the way that I've received it, I can pass that on to be of great benefit, I hope and believe. But it means that I have got to take time to write a book. And it's time I don't have. Well, what should I do about that? I'll tell you in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. I don't have time to do that. I don't have time. Oh, Tom, say it out loud. Say it out loud. Look in the mirror. Say it to yourself. Make sure you're hearing clearly what you say. I feel as if I've been entrusted with this capacity to study and reflect upon the great spiritual writers in our tradition. I've had a chance to walk with so many people in faith over the course of decades, and it's allowed me to bring together certain degree of insights and collecting them together to be able to share them in a way that benefits others. I've been given this capacity to be able to write and put it in writing, and there's so many tools around me that make that writing even easier. And I feel like this is something I must do. There's a must inside of me to do this. And I don't. I don't, it just sits there. And it's like, okay, once again, here's this discrepancy between how do I get there? Well, try harder. You can work smarter, not harder. So when you get up in the morning, take a little bit of time and write every day. Right? Okay, so those are a couple that are just related to, let's call it mission accomplishment in the world. Okay, what about I've shared with you my desire to fast and do more penance. That's something I've been asking the Lord for as a gift and a grace. Lord, I really truly desire to fast. Oh, by the way, there's a book I have on fasting, but I'm looking for, I'm asking for the gift of fasting and the gift of doing penance and making works of reparation. I have been praying for that intensively and extensively for a few years. And I just think it's such an odd thing that I'm like, Lord, I don't know how many people are coming before you, knocking on the door of heaven and saying, please, I beg you, give me the gift of fasting and give me the gift of reparation. And please, Lord, I'm looking for this. And whatever the case is, I have not found, despite my efforts, right? I have received that tremendous grace last summer to do that 21-day water fast and have done some other fasts since then. But I'm like, Lord, I want to live that more fully. But in the course of my day-to-day life, I find that I try it. I've got great intentions and great enthusiasm and great energy at the beginning of my day. And sure enough, by the middle of the morning, or by lunchtime, by the middle of the afternoon, or by dinner, or by sometime in the evening, crash and burn, crash and burn. It just, it fails and it falls apart. And I'm like, Lord, how can I be so weak? How can I fall so short? Okay, so there's that. And then there is an allied aspect. There is a secondary aspect to this as well. And this is the human element of fasting. And it's about eating healthier, eating in a more healthy fashion so that I am in better shape. So that's a goal that I have, to be able to eat right and exercise, right? There's the big secret. There's the big secret. All you have to do is eat right and exercise, and you're going to be in better shape. But, well, now get ready, because I've got a great list of excuses. The stresses and the pressures and the lack of having the food at hand and what's easily accessible and the situations I'm in just naturally gives me permission to eat in a way that's not healthy. And the busyness of my day-to-day life with the stresses crowds out the exercise. And then again, what's the simple response? Well, try harder, plan better, make good decisions. And all of the, you can see how these things are piling up, right? So these things pile up in my life. Maybe they pile up in yours. And it's like, okay, Lord, how do I get from the life that I'm living? And the life I'm living is not dishonoring to you. It's striving to serve you. And I'm praying and I'm incorporating you in my day-to-day life. But I don't want to get to the end of my life. And boy, I'm 59. I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize that I've settled for less. So my prayer going back to the end of May and my time away with Kerry was this idea of the 10x your life. Don't just seek to improve your life. Imagine what a fundamentally different life, a life that was a greater expression, more a deeper realization of your ideal, the ideal that you have set for yourself. What would that life look like? And imagine you were out at that life 90 days from now. Start imagining that you're living that life today. Start living the life that you intend to live out there in 90 days. There's the envisioned future state that you are naming and claiming as a greater realization of what you would hope for and deeply desire as an expression of a meaningful way to live your life. Now let that shine a light back on where you're at right now, and you just might be surprised at what starts showing up as a possible path to the radical disruption, the disruption of your current situation, your status quo, that might in fact break open and allow you to empty out the existing habits that are holding you back and be able to move you into a whole different way of being, a whole different way of being, not just a different way of living, but a different way of being that is in greater accord with what in fact God is inviting you to. And I say that very respectfully and intentionally. Not what God demands of you, but what God invites you to. That there's an opportunity there. That God is saying, this is available to you as a grace if you're really willing to step into it. If you're really willing to take that step. I think I used this example late last week. It was the story of the rich young man. What must I do to be saved versus what must I do to be perfect? And if I'm going to be saved, it requires following the commandments and loving the Lord. And that's a very worthy life, and it'll get me to heaven. But if I want to more perfectly conform to what God has for me, then I might need to be open to a greater disruption of the current status so that the more perfect can emerge. Okay, so this is where I brought up last week this idea that, wait a minute, what would disrupt my current way of living, the actual like day-to-day action that I would take is if I literally uprooted and set myself apart from my day-to-day life right now for, about 40 days. And so Christ's 40 days in the desert, the days of the Exodus, all of that, to be able to consider something like that, well, not in Lent, the idea of walking the Camino, walking this 500-mile path across northern Spain that ends in St. James the Apostle, St. James the Greater's Apostle, Cathedral, or Basilica in Santiago de Compostela in northwestern Spain. And this has become a bit of a passionate pursuit of mine. I've spent quite a bit of time researching what's it actually take to be able to do something like that in so many different dimensions, right? In terms of what kind of shape do you have to be in, and what kind of gear do you need, and what does the path actually look like, and where do you actually sleep, and how much does it cost, and what about getting to Mass, and is it safe? Is it and come to find out through looking at, I probably have watched 7 or 8 videos of people who made the journey. A couple of them are Catholic. A couple of them are just sort of more free, just adventurous types. And then a couple were sort of travel bloggers or influencers, and they sort of capture their journeys. And this just happened to be their journey walking the Camino. And come to find out, so many of the people that take that journey, they have this sort of path of self-discovery that occurs, and they often have a significant part of that be associated with the people they end up meeting by chance along the way. And honestly, that was completely apart from what I was thinking. I wanted to be kind of by myself if I did this, but I began to map out in my mind as I learned more about what this Camino would potentially look like. Well, it looks like you're getting up early and you're walking for probably half the day. But what I took from that is, hey, wait a minute. I can be prayerfully seeking the Lord, praying for others. And all of a sudden, it was just aligning itself with some of these thoughts that I've had of everything from, I want you to just hear it out loud now. I can be literally taking every step as an act of penance and reparation, number one. Number two, easy peasy, walking 6 or 7 hours a day, I will easily be able to be praying, not just a rosary, but all 4 sets of mysteries over the course of my own walking on the way during the course of the day. Okay, here you go. I can be praying the rosary live on Facebook, number one, way more than I'm doing right now. Number two, I can actually live day to day in a very direct way, this walking the path of penance and reparation. In addition to that, I have a clear expression of the idea about walking a path of penance and reparation on behalf of others. So there's that, of course. In addition to that, well, the idea of exercising is going to be provided for every day for those 35 days. And then in addition to that, there will be an opportunity to eat in a way that is healthy. That I'm still trying to figure out, because if I'm going to walk that much, I'm going to have to be eating something. And so eating in a way that is going to be healthy, but allow me to get in shape as well, is definitely going to be there in front of me. Again, this is me discerning. I'm taking a look at the different pieces of things. And then what I realized watching all these videos was that people would finish their stage of the Camino and still have half their day in front of them. And I thought, oh my goodness, what a beautiful opportunity for me to write, to be able to begin to write and put down into writing these different books that I've been talking about. I don't have space and time to do. Well, I'm literally uprooting myself from the day-to-day experience of my life at home to be able to do those things instead. For this, it'd be a total, I think, of something like 40 days round trip, everything. Actually, probably a little bit less than that, 35 days or ish. So that, let's call it a 40-day journey. Well, 40 days, that Lenten period, one of the reasons it's chosen is it's specifically meant to help dislodge an old way of life in order to establish and install a new way of life. And the, you know, you stop and say, hey, wait a minute, Tom, this all sounds very pie in the sky. What about the practicalities? You're going to be away from your home for 40 days. What does Carrie think about that? Well, Carrie certainly has to be on board, or it's not something that I can do. So it's something we continue to talk about and pray about. And I'm looking for, Lord, give me signs. Help me to see. Like, why would I do this? What's the purpose of doing this? And what would be the outcome that I'm hoping for? Well, it just so happened that on Sunday, I ended up going to Mass with a couple of my daughters down to the cathedral, and the path we took off the highway took us in front of a theater. I think it was the Fox Theater or Bing Crosby Theater, one or the other. And there was the name of a band that was playing at the theater. Do you know the name of the band? The name of the band, it was right on the front sign on the billboard, was Camino. All right, now, are you kidding me? Right. And so it's like, okay, yeah, it's cute. That's not a good enough reason to say I'm called to go walk the Camino. But it does, it just gives me one of those little pointers. You just kind of sit out there and you let that pointer. And this is the one way of discerning. St. John Henry Newman talked about a convergence of probabilities, right? If you don't have a proof that this is what is the case, you look for converging probabilities. What are those little signs and indicators when you add them all up? Leads to, like puzzle pieces, it leads to the picture emerging. So there was that. The other sort of puzzle piece that came into the open had to do with the prayer that I began with, this golden arrow prayer. And the golden arrow prayer is something that is connected with the Holy Face devotion. I mentioned Father Lawrence Carney. I didn't mention his name. Father Carney was on as a guest last week to talk about this Holy Face devotion. And it certainly has not been on my radar screen as a, let's call it, front and center devotion that I've paid a lot of attention to. But all of a sudden, there was this new layer that came into focus around walking the Camino in relationship to the Holy Face devotion. How? Well, let me tell you in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Kern. What I'm doing today on the program is I'm letting you on the inside of, like, let's call it living discernment. You know, how do I discern what God wants from me? Or what am I discerning that God is making available to me? It's not a requirement, but it's an open door if I'm willing to walk through it. And that's what I feel like this is. I feel like that I'm living a life that is striving to honor the Lord. And when I see parts of my life that are out of order, I strive to address them. And there are a few places in my life where I see things that I feel a call to do that are not getting done. And so I've been bringing it before the Lord and I'm saying, Lord, okay, I've got several areas in my life where I'm not living in accord with the highest ideal of what you have for me, or in certain instances, what Carrie wants for me, what I want for me, or what I believe I was made to do. Even though I'm very active in the faith and doing these other things, I still feel this gap. And this is one of those instances where, again, if you can discern clearly what the Lord is asking of you, that he just might be asking of you to uproot from what you know, what you expect is normal, what you expect is possible, what you might even consider is desirable. And this is what I'm talking about, right? The idea that I would step away from being with my family day to day for more than just a few days is something that just doesn't enter into my mind. The closest that it used to happen before we had kids, and I would travel around the country doing a lot of ministry work. And then as God started blessing us with children, I peeled back all of the work I did that was like national in scope. And I focused more locally, and I decided to say, Lord, I'll reach the world beyond my local area through resources, through CDs and DVDs or tapes and cassette tapes and VHS tapes. And then it was online resources, and it was social media platforms, and it was TV programs, and it was the radio, right? So these are the ways that I'll go beyond my own local area and do that to honor my family. I'm not going to build my ministry on the back of my family. And so that was my own sense of call, and that's what I did. That's what I've done. And so when I travel today, it's only for maybe 2 or 3 days at a time. And that's a very rare occurrence. And that would be for real estate work, speaking at or attending a conference or something like that. So all of a sudden now, coming somewhat out of left field, is this, Tom, you really desire to get to this different place? Well, maybe you're going to have to take a different kind of action, and an action that wasn't something that you had dreamed of, you had sought out, but it is essentially being presented to you as a way that will be the key, the lever to roll away the stone so that you can climb out of the tomb that you're in. The tomb that I'm in, that sounds too dramatic, but I think you get the idea. The idea that there are things that I'm not getting done that I feel called to do, and doing the things that I've always done is not getting the job done. So being willing to take the next level, to go to that next level, is going to require from me a next level type of response. And so the question becomes, well, what would that response potentially be? And I kind of put it before the Lord, and I said, Lord, is it doing a Camino, or is it doing the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius? Lord, what will allow this uprooting and this coming into a greater sense of conformity with what you have for me in my life? So just before the break, I was mentioning that, hey, wait a minute. There are other signs that are coming together, that are converging here, and I have to pay attention to them. And so one of the signs that has come is this devotion to the Holy Face. Now, I didn't line these things up. This is the funny thing, or the wink-wink God providential thing, is that when Carrie and I had gone away, I had set, probably back at that time, the interview with Father Carney for early July. And there was nothing on my radar screen at all about this idea of going on a Camino. Well, once Carrie and I started to say, okay, well, if you were actually going to do this, what would be the days you would do it? And the fascinating thing is, the most natural day to do it would be to leave the day after the kids head back to Franciscan University. And if I count out the number of days it would take me to go from here to southern France to start this Camino, and then count up the 35 days it would take to do the Camino, and then fly back, it would literally have me end my Camino on October the 1st. Now, October the 1st might just be a day on the calendar for you, and some of you might know, oh, it's the Feast of the Little Flower, St. Therese. However, if you paid attention to the interview with Father Carney and the Holy Face devotion, one of the things that you would have heard is that there is a beautiful sort of hand of divine providence on this Holy Face devotion connected to the little flower. St. Therese of Lisieux is the St. Therese of the child Jesus, and that's what so many of us know, the little way, the way of the little child. But it's St. Therese of the little child, of the child Jesus, and of the Holy Face. And it just happened that the Holy Face devotion had sprung up in Tours, France, a couple hours away from Lisieux, and it had become known at precisely the time that the little flower was about to enter the convent. And so she and her dad enrolled in this confraternity of the Holy Face, and there was an image of the Holy Face in her convent, and it had such an impact on her that she felt this call in making her final vows, as Father Carney brought out, that she embraced that as part of her religious name. And it just struck me as so very fitting that if I were to do this walk, all of a sudden it was like, oh my goodness, that is a wonderful sign of what the Camino can mean for me. It can mean for me not only an act of penance and reparation, not only a time to be cleansed and detoxed and shed the impact of day-to-day lives and technology in order to get close to the Lord and go deeper into God. There was also this beautiful sense of, wait a minute, as a pilgrim, I know I'm on a journey towards God, but a pilgrimage can also be an expressed attempt to seek His face, to seek His face. Wait a minute, this is the devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus, and one of the beautiful ways of referring to this devotion is all of the scriptures that refer to the theme of seeking the face of God. Lord, help me to seek your face. So yesterday morning when I got up, I was praying and I was saying, Lord, I would love a sign from you. I want to continue to discern and not just decide that this is what you have for me, but I just want to discern more, Lord. Lord, what? Give me another sign. Just help me to recognize these little like breadcrumbs that this is the path that I'm supposed to continue to ponder and maybe say yes to, is making this Camino, and specifically doing this now with this devotion to seek the face of the Lord, and to enter more fully into this devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. Well, I opened up the Office of Readings for yesterday morning, and the first psalm in the Office of Readings is, Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant. And that gets translated in the psalm itself, let the light of your face, let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your love. And I mean, really? In the four full weeks of the Psalter, in the Liturgy of the Hours, with all of the psalms that are prayed in all these different hours, the first psalm of the first hour where I sit down and I say, Lord, please help me, give me a sign. And the antiphon, the entry into the psalm is, Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant. And the end of that psalm is, let your face shine on your servant. I thought that was pretty cool. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and I'm sharing with you this idea of discernment and trying to discern, how do I know that this is what the Lord would have for me to do? And again, just to say, if you're sensing that there are things in your life that need to be addressed and doing what you're doing is not getting it done, you might need to discern whether the Lord is giving you an opportunity to take a more serious action, to intervene, to disrupt, to dislodge, to be able to remove and fill your life with more of His grace, with whatever it is that you're seeking, that just doing what you've been doing isn't getting it done. Well, one of the principles of discernment is commit gradually within the commitment that is complete. In other words, I can say, I'm committed to do this, but I'm going to slowly make little steps that are expressions that are smaller steps towards the biggest, fullest expression. A good way of thinking of it is when a couple gets engaged, they make a sign of their commitment to one day be married, right? So that's the sign, that's the signal, that's the meaning, that's the expression that comes when the boy asks the girl, will you marry me? The young man asks the young one, will you marry me? And she says, yes, and they give the ring. Now, that's a commitment that's expressed, that is expressive of something that is much fuller to come. And it's to come, it's down the road. But in the meantime, there's the living out of that commitment slowly, day to day. I bring that up as an imperfect analogy to what I have seen as, let's call it spiritual benefits or total benefits, to even in my mind saying, I intend to do this. So if I intend to take that action at the end of August to fly to do this Camino, already here it is in early mid-July that I'm seeing some of the benefits of the action that is to come. Why? Well, I've already started to prepare myself to live in a way that is in accord with what will happen on the way. Does that make sense? So I'm preparing now for what is to come, and the preparation itself begins to sow the seeds of the very benefits that I'm seeking to have become manifest through the Camino itself. Are you tracking with me? And so, for instance, I'm going to get up early and I'm going to walk in the morning. Hey, look at that. Guess what else I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be doing that, 50 days from now. Well, let me start doing it now. I'm not going to walk as long because I've got a very different lifestyle and life circumstances here, but I can do that every day. Oh, wait a minute. I'm also starting to reflect on, what are the kinds of things that I want to write about? I want to discern about. What about taking time to pray a rosary? So let me take a walk and let me pray a couple of rosaries while I'm walking. And so, oh my goodness, look what's happening. I'm starting to see the fruits of the Camino a month and a half before I even take a step onto a plane. And again, I haven't purchased a plane ticket yet, so it's not yet real in my life. But the very act of discerning what it is going to ask of me down the road is starting to impact the present step I'm taking on the road towards that starting line. Now, this is not a new thing or a surprising thing in the Catholic spiritual tradition. In our tradition, I remember first reading it succinctly in one of the constitutions of the early Franciscan community. After Francis died, they put together this rule of life, and there were these certain spiritual maxims or principles that were incorporated into different parts of it. And one of them had to do with prayer, and it was that you prepare for prayer by putting yourself in the disposition, in the situation or condition that you want to be in when you're praying before you start praying. Does that make sense? So the best way to pray well is by preparing well. And preparing well means that I'm going to get myself in the readiness, in the readied state, in the disposition of prayer before I reach the time of prayer. And that'll help me to pray well. It's brilliant. It's like I used to give these kind of cutesy examples all the time when I would give talks on like growing in your spiritual life. If you say, oh, I'm going to pray after I watch this show on TV. Now that's pretty much a bygone era. Now it's, oh, I'll pray after I just spend a little bit more time watching this show on, you know, on the internet, whether it's YouTube or Amazon Prime or Netflix or some other streaming network. I'm going to watch something and then I'll go pray. But what happens is if we move from the electronically engaged moments that are so intense in our minds, and then all of a sudden say, okay, now I'm going to stop, now I'm going to pray. Well, you get the overflow effect. You've got this lingering impact of what you've been doing that you carry with you into your prayer. And so this is recognizing that and then saying, okay, well, if I'm going to pray well, I should take the time leading up to prayer to put stuff away, to slow down, to put myself in order, to quiet myself down. Okay, and that to cleanse and to empty out myself of stuff that are distracting and diverting and dispersing. And let me now concentrate and focus. And okay, now let me start my prayer. Right? Do we do that? I mean, if we did that, we would probably triple the length of our prayer time. Because we would take the first 10 or 15 minutes just to slow ourselves down. And then we would enter into the prayer and it would be a more extensive prayer. We would be much slower to want to leave that time of prayer and would find ourselves much more fruitful and life-giving to stay praying longer. Well, I'm taking that principle as it applies to the moment of a prayer time and applying it to what can actually happen transformatively in our own day-to-day lives, where we in fact can experience this beautiful sense of the Lord saying, I'm going to begin to uproot those things that you're hoping get uprooted down the road. I'm going to start diminishing their strength in your life right here, now, and today. So I'll just end with that and just encourage you to say, are there parts of your life, are there areas in your life where you're saying to yourself, Lord, I know there's more, I want more, and the normal efforts I'm taking are not working. Give yourself the space to take the risk to bring to the Lord, Lord, I want more. I want to enter into more of what you have for me, but I don't know how to get there. And ask and seek and knock until the Lord begins to bring to your awareness what just might in fact be a path to that more. But if you do this, I'm going to tell you, you might sense this prompting to take an action that's bigger, it's more out of the box than what you would have designed for yourself. Like, oh, I just couldn't do that. That's just not practical. That's just not possible. And honestly, I think that part of the reason why something like this even can land in my life a little bit is because of all the families that I've been serving over the last 5 years with regards to their discernment about uprooting and moving their families from a place that is not serving them any longer to a place that would be more life-giving for them and their family. And that uprooting was considered such a massive change that it was, in a lot of ways, just unthinkable for them. And so to be able to walk with folks in that sense of saying, you know what was unthinkable has become necessary. If in fact this is the outcome I want for my family or for my kids, I have to do it. There's that must. And I can't just stay with the status quo. So there you go. I hope this was interesting. I don't know how many folks ever share sort of the inner life of the work of discernment and trying to get a sense of, well, what's the Lord have for me? But I did. And I hope and pray it was a blessing to you. God bless your day.